This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 2.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to episode number 2. And wherever you are, I hope that you're having an awesome time. I'm here in Toronto. It's cold, it's snowy, but the fire's on downstairs and I'm about to go and have some soup. But before I do that, I wanted to just record this intro for an interview I've just done with a very clever copywriter by the name of Lawton Chiles. Lawton has written copy for some of the best copywriters going around. I'm talking household names in the internet marketing world, guys like Frank Kern and Ryan Dice. And in this interview, Lawton spills a lot of information. Now, I'll warn you up front, Lawton has not done a lot of work for real estate or the real estate industry in selling real estate services. But the techniques and the strategies and the ideas behind the way he writes his copy and the way he comes up with his ideas, I think is brilliant. Now, you don't need to write notes for this because all the websites and a lot of the concepts and things that Lawton mentions, I've already written down. I'll be including them in the show notes. To access that, all you need to do is go to topagentsplaybook.com. That's topagentsplaybook.com, and you'll be able to find this episode and download all the info you need. Okay, let's get into it. Here's my interview with Lawton. Well, welcome to another Top Agents Playbook podcast. I'm Ray Wood. Today I'm speaking with copywriting expert Lawton Chiles. Hello, Lawton, and welcome.
Hey, Ray. Thank you so much.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. We've had a spat of extreme gray, rainy days, but it's cold in the south of the United States.
For those of you who don't know, Lawton's in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Toronto, and I'm looking out my window at the moment, and it's snowing. So it's going to be an interesting day. Now, I want to pick your brain, and let me say up front, thank you so much for letting me do this and giving me some time. I really want to pick your brain about copywriting and how our real estate agent listeners to this podcast can improve their copywriting and their communication. First, I guess I'd like to start, because I know that you've been doing this for about 10 years. I know that you've been consulting to some of the biggest names in internet marketing. Can you tell me a little bit about how you got started and what you've been doing?
Yeah, funnily enough, many people think that this type of thing is like painting, they're like, well, I could never do that, or I could never write that letter, or I could never, whatever. Whereas I think like, well, I could never sell, real estate or, help other people sell it. And so I think we're all to each his own, but,
yes,
I started on eBay. We had a small, hotel in the north of Florida, and we had a lot of high-end bedding that we needed to get rid of. So what we did, like Ralph Lauren and all these other, sort of bedspreads. And so what we did was they were like, well, you can keep the money if you just help us sell this stuff on eBay. So okay. I put all the bedding on eBay, and it sold. And, it was like this high-quality duvets and whatever, comforters. And so they sold all of them, I think. And what happened was I realized that the more that you persuaded in print, the better you were at that, the more that you would potentially be able to sell to people that wanted it. I think the main thing that I see in selling and sales is people that come to this, whether it's marketing your real estate services or, finding other agents to sell, or whatever you're trying to do, they think that just because they've created a piece of marketing or a piece of advertising that will That, of course, guarantees that it will be read and then it will be paid attention to and then it will be acted upon in a positive light. And that's not true. You know, you have to earn readership, as Dan Kennedy, famous, you know, ad copywriter and, you know, entrepreneur, marketer, has stated, you know, earning that readership. And more, you know, advertising is all about numbers. Most people will not take the action that you want. You know, like 99 out of 100 will not take you up on your ad or your offer, but that 1% will. And so if you can find enough of those 1%, you know, like let's say your 5,000 people see your ad and, you know, 5% of that take an action, or 3% take an action, or even 1% take an action, that's just the law of the numbers and the law of averages. It's very, very hard to get people to part with their money. And so that's why we play these numbers games. We try to put the right message in front of the right people at the right time. And so that's sort of what I do. And that all started from eBay. You know, we knew that people were looking for this. We put it in a marketplace where we knew that they would try to find it and, you know, tried to compel and persuade them to buy it. But the main thing, if I could leave with your audience, is, you know, you cannot create desire. So, you know, all you can do is channel the desire that's already there. You know, if you're selling real estate or if you're selling real estate services or if you're selling consulting, the people already have to sort of want that in the back of their mind and in their mind's eye and the desires of their makeup. If they don't desire that, then no great marketing or branding or sales message in the world will get them to buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they just don't want it. But the people that do want it, then you can become, you know, how do I make this message as persuasive as possible and as compelling as possible? How do I lower doubt and increase trust in my claims? And that's really what you're doing, is you're trying to lower the natural skepticism of, you know, the average man or woman reading your ad, and raise the trust in your claims. That's basically all we do.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, your point's valid. I mean, not everybody's going to be buying all the time. So if you've got a list of 100 people, there may only be 2, 3, or 5% of that list that are actually ready to buy. So it is in the numbers to a large extent. Take me through the process, Lawton. When you're given a brief to sell whatever, widgets, can you take me through the, I guess I call it the creative process of you sitting down to write that either direct mail letter or email?
Yeah, in the early days, it was just like try to make it as good as possible. I don't think I really knew. I think I was probably more emotionally in tune with trying to do the best job I could and like really like sweat over a 30-page sales letter, you know?
Yeah.
One of the first things I had to do was, one of our clients was like, can you go in and write a letter selling, like, we had a marina in Florida where a lot of people came to fish and you know, sail their boats, and they had condominiums and boat slips for sale. And so they were like, yeah, can you write a long form sales letter for it to sell this stuff? And I was like, okay. You know, like I was like 23. I didn't really know. I've been reading all this Dan Kennedy stuff and David Ogilvy and John Caples and all these people. And I was like, well, I really like doing this. I like persuading. I like helping. So what I did was I grew up in Florida. I went fishing a lot, but I didn't know anything about it, you know. So I went to the newspaper, I went to the Barnes & Noble or Borders, and I got all these like Bass Pro Fishing magazines and Sports Angler and all these, you know, magazines of an industry I didn't really know anything about. And I read the letters to the editor. That's what I did. So all these crazy fisher people, you know, that loved the sport of fishing and the pastime of fishing in America, you know, they wrote into these big magazines. And one of the letters said, "The Chief Joy of Fishing." So I started reading that in the bookstore. And it basically said, everyone thinks the chief joy of fishing is being out on the water and, you know, experiencing all of that. He's like, that's a bunch of hogwash. Like, the chief joy of fishing is catching a bigger fish than the guy next to you. Right. And so that went into the top of the sales letter. You know, I kind of lifted that from that, and I made the whole letter about this amazing place in North Florida and the fourth best fishing in the world and great food and, you know, being able to catch a bigger fish than the guy next to you and the guy turning to you and saying, why haven't you told me about this place before? And so I wanted to create that feeling. And so I knew that that's what they were buying. You know, like they weren't just buying like a condominium and they weren't buying like a sales appointment. They were buying the idea of this experience. And so I tried my best to channel that. Nowadays, you know, 10 years later, what I do is I will go into a software called AdBeat or iSpionage, which requires a paid account. It's not cheap, but you can use a free site like SimilarWeb, and you type in your competitor websites. So that would be, I don't know what it would be, but I'd find like real estate, somebody else selling real estate in that area or in Florida.
Okay.
And I would try to figure out if I could get a handle on which ads they were running. So AdBeat and iSpionage, they give you a list of who's running what in what industry and how much they're spending per month, how long the ads have been running. So if the ad's been running for like half a year or more, you know that it's probably successful.
Gotcha.
And so I'll look at their copy. I'll look at the ads. I'll look at the creatives, and I'll see what's the angle here. What kind of benefits are they promising? You know, what type of sales copy are they promising? You can also use a tool called follow.net, which I think is free for – and it does some of the same things. It shows you like ad creatives and – you know, another thing which doesn't cost any money is you can type in your keyword into Google, like whatever the keyword is. So say it's like muscle building, whatever, you would type that into Google and look at the ads that are approved to run in Google because they're the most strict.
Okay.
So that's another thing. If you can see ads on the right-hand side or you can see ads down below your search query, then you kind of know, okay, there's money being spent in this space, and you can see these people have been running, you know, these people are running ads.
Okay.
So that's sort of the competitive intelligence that has just sort of become available to us in the last, you know, 2 to 5 years. Also Amazon, if the market is large enough, like what are people reading, you know, going and looking at that, what's the copy on the front of the books, on the back of the books. You know, what are the table of contents about? You know, if the book has like more than 100 reviews, it's like, it's a, you know, you could tell it's a big market.
Yes.
So some of this stuff is for mass markets, but a lot of it is very important. It's like, what are people, you know, what are people reading? What are people watching? Going to YouTube, typing in like, you know, your search term and seeing like, is there videos with like 100,000 or more views, like what are the search terms they're typing in?
Yep.
And then like, you know, what are they reading? What are they watching? And, you know, what are they buying?
So are you saying that those ads that we can see in Google when we do those searches, that's telling us two things, that there is obviously success in the marketplace because somebody's spending money to be there. Are you also saying that we should be looking to mimic the spirit or the feel or the vibe of an ad like that? What are you saying about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why sometimes you kind of have to spend money on these you know, paid ad networks like AdBeat, or I think you can get like a 7-day trial or something for AdBeat and okay. Kind of go in, you can go in and look at all your search terms and, you know, not have to pay like the $100 or $200 a month or whatever it is.
Okay.
But basically, then you would know, you know, who's spending what money. You know, you can go in and just type in your keyword term, and it'll tell you these 10 websites are spending between $5,000 and $500,000 a month on paid click, you know, pay per click marketing.
Yep.
So you would know, sort of after looking at all that, you know, what to model technically for your own ads. Sometimes you don't really hit pay dirt and there's not much. It just depends on what your industry is. But if there's a lot of competition already, you know, you can bet that that there's ads there to model. The part when you go into Google and you type in the search term, it's kind of hard to know like how long those ads have been running, if they're very successful or not. But you can look at it and see a common trend, you know, in the terms, and you know that okay, if this is approved to run on Google, then you know they're obviously like you can probably run the same thing on Facebook.
Okay. One of the big challenges we have in real estate is that we sell a service. Mm-hmm. I mean, our challenge is we like, for example, if you're selling your house in Atlanta, I need to impress you. To the point where you say, oh, okay, Ray, you can be my agent. Okay, so that's kind of the first sale I have to make. My second sale, obviously, is how I market your property. So the way I see it, and most real estate people see it, is that our biggest challenge is as we call it, getting to the table to be able to make the presentation, to be able to contact the seller in the first place. So our challenge is to be able to market a service, not so much a physical product. So can I ask your advice on that? How would you go about marketing a service? Like if there's an estate agent and say the agent is good at, for example, marketing property that gets a sale at or above market value, how would you go about marketing something like that?
I mean, I would definitely, it's all about the results. You know, when you're selling services, is what's your track record? You know, who have you done this for? Why should I listen to what you have to say?
Okay.
So if you came to me and said, "Hey, I'm Bray. I've sold 21 homes in the last 3 years in the Toronto metropolitan area, many of them being condominiums like the one you own." And so that's sort of how the letter would start out, and it would be, you'd have 3 to 5 testimonials right off the bat, sort of like headline type, you know, like Ray helped me close my home in like 7 days and get 20% more than I wanted or than I asked for. So yeah, I would lead with proof.
Okay. Lead with proof. I like that.
Yeah.
Incidentally, let me just pull you up for one sec, because if people are madly scribbling all of these things down, if you're in your car or whatever, I don't want you doing that. But I'm going to be putting all of these domain names that websites that Lawton's been talking about and some of these ideas, I'm going to be writing those up in the show notes. So you can go to the website and grab everything that you need to do or you need to get from there. The website is topagentsplaybook.com and you'll be able to check everything out there. Let me just rewind for a sec, because you touched on traffic before. And one of the questions I've written down to ask you is free traffic a myth today?
I think worthwhile traffic is paid.
Right.
They talk a lot about, the kind of the new form of doing things is, I work with a company called Digital Marketer, which is Ryan Dyer's Belcher. They're pretty big in the info marketing space. And one thing they're doing is they're running like Facebook ads to content. So the content could be, instead of like running a Facebook ad to like a page where you get their name and email for a free report, otherwise known as a squeeze page, what you would do instead is run a Facebook ad to a piece of content. So it could be like how we sold, the exact 7-step process of how we sold our last 21 homes in the Toronto area.
Okay.
Right. So you would market, you would target people, consumers who were interested in, you know, who had a home or who would, I'm sure you can get a list of people that are, you can get the list and basically import it into Facebook.
Okay.
And then they will match it with, whoever has active Facebook accounts.
Okay.
So basically you would have a piece of content or, the newest 3 ways to sell your Toronto area, home in 2015. And then that ad would go to an article, which would be just sort of like an article on CNN or BBC or whatever. And then sort of at the end of the article would be a free report or hey, have you joined this article? You know, would you like me to be basically create a 3-step process like this for you? If so, click here and enter your name and email, and I'll rush you my, hot sheet on 17 more marketing strategies for your area home. Then they get that in their email, and then basically it would say something like, "Do you want some help? Would you like me to do this for you?"
Okay,
you know.
Yep.
So I think free traffic is good if it's targeted, but I think at the end of the day, it's like you're going to get so many more beneficial results if you just start paying for your ads and paying for the traffic. The problem, though, is a lot of these ad companies like Facebook, Google, you can't really claim certain things. So you can't say like how we made XYZ dollars.
Because they won't allow your ad to run.
Yeah. I think that you probably can say how we sold, you know, 21 properties or something like that. I don't know if that really violates the claims.
Yeah.
But basically the whole idea is like, what kind of content would your audience want to see in an article? You know, like how to sell my home, how I got, how to triple the price of your asking offer.
Yep.
Things like that.
Okay.
So that's what I would do.
If we're getting into that area of marketing, which is a little bit away from copywriting, but I want to talk about it just for a sec because it's really important. Because I'm speaking to real estate agents every day, and they're saying, "Hey, I've got this message. How do I build a list to actually talk to people?" So, I mean, like you said before, your copy can be awesome, but unless you've got a list to market to, it's all for nothing. So, my question, I guess, Lawton, is where is the smart money being spent on pay-per-click advertising at the moment? Is it Facebook? Is it Google AdWords? Is it something else? Where are people investing at the moment? Where are marketers investing to build lists, regardless of what they're selling?
I think that's a great question. Definitely Facebook and Google AdWords. Also, Twitter ads are performing very well right now.
Right.
And you could probably get away with more claims, like how we made XYZ amount of dollars, or you know, like the three-step secret that we use to sell the last 75 homes in the New York City area.
Okay.
Consumers, you know, would you want to sell your home for three times the asking price? Here's a three-step plan to do it.
Okay.
And then that would go to an article or a video that was just content. And then at the end, there'd be like a pitch for something. So that's what I would do. I think Twitter ads are working well, Facebook ads, Google AdWords. Of course, Google is the most compliant, risk averse. Basically, you have to have terms of service, privacy policy, you know, income claim stuff. There's a lot that you have to do to get approved with Google. But I think if you can do that and have a Google-friendly landing page, you can even Google like how to have a Google friendly landing page for pay-per-click. I'm sure there's a lot of articles where they kind of tell you what you need to have on the page.
And, yes.
So I think, the smart money is where the people are, of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google, the YouTube, the big five. But I think mainly it's not only where you're spending your money, but what you're actually driving them to. I think you used to be able to drive them to just like a regular squeeze page with a headline and an opt-in form. Now you're like, you need bullets on the page. You have to really explain exactly what they're getting. Like on the next page, you will receive, these seven things. So it's very much becoming less direct response friendly and more like write the page as if you're Apple or Amazon or American Express. It has to be very sort of corporate. It has to be very black and white. They don't like autoplay videos on the next page. They don't like, just like a headline and an opt-in form. They want people to have options.
It's getting harder and harder to reach your audiences is what I'm hearing.
In one sense it is, in another sense it's all going to paid media. So I think the days of like you putting out content and just having a ton of people naturally, organically flock to it are gone and have been gone for like eight years,
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm ranking number one for this term and I'm getting tons of organic, natural traffic. I think that's it's just not how the game is played anymore. The game is played by who pays for the attention. And then who can turn the attention into into relevant content. And we're seeing most of that is being done through articles and, not straight sales pitches, but basically like, hey, let me buy you a free lunch and then tell you some secrets. And then at the end of that lunch, oh, hey, if you want help with that, you know, here's what to do next. And yeah. I think it's changing. And digitalmarketer.com is a great way to keep up with those changes. They have a $37 sort of thing that they give out where it's you can get like monthly training on everything that's changing. But the main thing
Digital
is
Digital Marketer is Ryan Dice's
that's
website.
One of probably the easiest way for $37 a month or £50 or whatever. You know, you can dive into all that stuff and get a good – they also have a private Facebook group. And, of course, all of your training that you're offering your people. But I think that the main thing is there's no right or wrong. I think it's all in the structure. Okay. So if you have a tantalizing message to the right people and you start running paid ads to blog posts or videos that give them solutions to their problems, you can always attach a sales pitch at the end and almost never be, you know, hated on because you're delivering value up front.
Yes.
And you're building that trust.
Yes.
And so it's a delicate thing. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no, hey, if you do this, the money will pour out of the sky and into your lap. We would like it to be that easy, but it's a testing ground. And,
of course. So. Well, speaking of testing, do you test – and I wanted to talk about headlines and specifically an email headline or a subject. Do you test different subjects when you've got a big campaign?
Yeah, it depends. Usually if it's to my list, I don't do that much. But if it's to, like client stuff, yeah, sometimes we will run split test of – we will run like a split test to like 50% of the list, and then whichever one gets the higher click through rate. Open rates and click through rates are great, but I think the main thing is that you really want to focus on is return on investment.
Well, so, I wanted to ask you about that because the last 12 months or so, I've been obsessed with open rates because obviously we want people to read our message, but
right. Then
if somebody, it's obviously two steps again, if somebody's opening your email, are they then clicking on the link that's within the email, which is to either find more or to buy something? So give me your expertise on that. Give me your feedback on that. What is a good open rate? Is it important? And then what's a good CTR, a good click-through rate percentage after that?
I'm not even going to really touch on numbers or whatever. I mean, I think
– oh, come on.
There are industry standards.
Okay.
Okay. So, if you're getting like less than 10 to 15%, then chances are people are just – your content is not really
– it's not engaging.
It's not engaging.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the open rates will kind of level out at around, 15 to 20%. If you can get 30, 40, 50, I mean, that's awesome. Really, though, I think it's about, who's clicking. So I think I'd rather much get more, you could have an incredibly high open rate and a terrible click-through rate. So you could have like, 60% of the people opening your message, but only like 2% clicking on the link or whatever, something like that. And I think open rates are deceiving. I think over time it's all about the ROI. So if you're making money from your efforts, you don't really care what the open rate is,
yeah, sure.
Or the click-through rate, as long as what you're doing is making money. And I think some of that stuff is deceiving. But I think the main thing is you want to write content that is, where you are getting opens and you are getting clicks. That's a good metric of your engagement, but I think also, are you making sales with your emails? Are you putting words on the page and then, is money being made as a result of those efforts? I think is a better question to ask. But obviously, yeah, the open rates and the metrics do, they are important. They do tell a story, but I would focus more on what's happening after you send that email.
Okay.
You know, okay. So if you're emailing 3 to 5 times a week with a couple pieces of content and like and then an offer of some kind, is money coming back from those efforts? And if not, you know, you can look at the open rates and say, well, maybe they're not interested in this, or maybe, you know, the audience is wrong, or survey them and see what they are interested in, and then see if your open rates and click-through rates go up again. But I think at the main time, it's all about, it is all about the ROI.
Okay.
The best marketers in the world don't care what their open rates and click-through rates are if they're not making money.
Yeah, of course. One of the things that amazes me in the real estate industry is that so many agents don't use the software that allows them to test or at least find out what their open rates are. So they're pouring blood, sweat and tears into sending out these messages, but they're not able to find out within 24 hours what percentage was open. So I guess I'm on a one-man campaign to try and encourage people to use the software.
Yeah, I mean, there's things like AWeber or MailChimp or Eye Contact, and then also more robust things like Infusionsoft. But I think the main thing is like the ROI. So yeah, if you're sending out emails and hardly anyone's opening them, you know, like if you're not getting like a 15% to 20% open rate on average. But at the same time, your list has to be, you have to be a good storyteller, or you have to have like a very responsive list in order to really use email as a springboard.
Yes.
And I think that's why I love like Andre Chaperone. I mean, he has Autoresponder Madness, which shows you how to tell stories and weave in open loops. Like, hey, I'll tell you what happens next time in our email. And it trains people to like look forward to the next email. Now, those tactics are great. But it's like at the end, does that result in sales? Does that result in money in your bank account? And I think that's the main thing. You could have all the email tactics in the world. You could have all the email courses. You could do everything right. But, you know, is that turning into the result that you want? Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's social shares. Maybe it's just branding. Like, hey, I want people to know that I'm out here and that I'm able to help them. One thing that the digital marketer folks do is like the perfect welcome email, you know, so they'll right when you sign up for their list, they'll give you like a report or whatever that you opted in for, like marketing or whatever. But then they'll also give you another email at the same time that says, hey, welcome to the family. This is what you can expect from me in the next like 2 weeks. You know, like, hey, you should follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And they'll bounce you from their email inbox into Twitter or into Facebook. And they'll start a conversation there. And so it's not just an email. It's introducing yourself like, hey, my name is Ray. And for the last, 20 years, I've, been at the forefront of real estate marketing and on multiple continents, helping XYZ number of students. And I'm really glad you joined our family. You know, every Tuesday, I'm going to give you like a great new marketing tip for your business. Also, make sure to whitelist this email and follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Ask me any questions there. My Twitter handle is whatever. My Facebook URL is right here. And so like sending out a couple messages like that to engage them, indoctrinate them into who you are.
Okay.
It's very important.
Now, before we lose half our listening audience, I want to backtrack a little bit because you've started to talk about autoresponders or follow-up sequence emails from a lead magnet. Am I right? That's kind of where it's driven from. So I just think it's important that we just retrace our steps just for a minute and just go through this process again. So let's apply this to real estate, Lawton. For example, I have a best-selling book called How to Sell Your Home for More. So the real estate agents that I work with use that, or they use another one called The Ultimate Home Seller's Guide. So that would be on a lead magnet page. So you're talking about after a member of the public opts in to get this ebook, the emails that would be following on from that. Is that your point?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the old days, it was just like get the lead and have the person opt into your list and then hammer them until they bought.
Right.
You know, like every other day, like, you should buy this, you know, $37 ebook, or, you know, you need to, you know, you should, hey, I'm doing this real estate thing, you know, you should hire me to sell your home, or whatever. And I think,
well, we all know that doesn't work. You're not going to.
So I think the relationship, the trust factor, and that's why I love, you know, Andre's course. I think it's like $300.
Spell Andre's name for me, because I'm going to be going through the show notes and I'm not familiar.
Yeah, I'll send you out a list. It's autorespondermadness.com.
Okay.
A-U-T. I can't spell it, but
I'll work it out.
Send you the thing. And Andre Chaperone, E-R-E-N-D-R-E. Or A-N-D-R-E, sorry, Andre
Chaperone,
C-H-A-P-E-R-O-N.
Okay.
He lives in Spain, and he will single-handedly transform your idea of story-based emails and sequential trust. Because basically it's like he takes ordinary things that are usually boring and turns them into really exciting stories to bond with his list.
See, I love that. I love that because – A story engages me. If somebody's just blah, blah, blahing in an email, I know where it's leading, right? It's a marketing email. But a story will, every time, especially a great story, will really engage me. So is that something that you emphasize when you're working with clients?
You know, I do. You know, we do a lot of that. You know, one of the things we did was, you know, and I think you used was the Back to the Future email.
Yes, I love that. I love that.
So basically the whole idea, and some of this is from a guy named Ben Settle, S-E-T-T-L-E. I think it's bensettle.com.
Yes, it is.
If you Google. So he does a lot of that, sort of like the Indiana Jones guide to, you know, email marketing or whatever, or the George Costanza guide to persuasion, and you know, from Seinfeld. And but he takes these pop culture references, and other people do it too. Matt Fury, I think, does it. It's not new, but what I was able to do with that was I took a movie that kind of everybody knew, which was Back to the Future, and the subject line was like 88 miles an hour. And so technically what you
that's
can
all
do,
you said in the subject line 88
I think it was,
miles
yeah
per
I
hour.
Think it was 88 miles an hour, you know, which yep. which people there I think it, they would
it's the intrigue
it. Yeah, they would see it and say, what is that? Or they would see it and say, this reminds me of something, I can't remember what it is, you know. Yes. Let me click it. Or they would know right away, oh, it's Back to the Future. But basically it's like you know, so telling that story, like your subject line could be like the bat phone, right? And for people of a certain age, you know, I think yourself included and me grew up watching Batman and the bat phone. Everybody knows what that is. And so they open the email and it's like, you know, have you ever had a message that was so important that, you know, only one thing would do, and you had a dedicated line and remember Batman and yeah. you had the bat phone. And so you would relate that somehow to story and what you're selling. You know, it's like, have you ever had something so important that you had to reach the right person at the right time? Remember like the bat phone, and you would tell that story.
Yep.
And then be like, well, today is that day. Like, this is the reason I'm emailing you, is because I don't have a bat phone, but if I did, then, you know, I would tell you this message, and it would be, you know, for today only, we're giving away this XYZ thing, or we're selling our, you know, we've sold 17 houses and we really want to sell the next two in Toronto, but we're only taking two applicants to work with us. You know, you should apply now. You know, so it's like you can, if you entertain, you can almost sell like every day, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think using what's happening now, like, you know, the Netanyahu guide to email marketing, or, you know, Obama's, you know, Israeli Iran connection, you know, of his, I don't know, you know, it's like, what are they talking about?
Something
what are
topical. They,
yeah.
Going
yeah.
To pique
and
interest.
I think that's so hilarious to me. But I think the main thing is the people that are, and it has to be like, okay, if you know that the people that you're writing to grew up watching a certain show, or are all reading the Twilight books, or, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like there's so many things that they – or the Super Bowl was last night. How can I tie this into an email promotion?
Yeah, a relevance on a subject. In fact, what I'm going to do, with your permission, you better shut me down now if I can't do it. But I'd love to put your Back to the Future email in the show notes. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you. because I think once people see that, they'll really understand the process a whole lot better, and they can understand how you can pick a topic and the language that you use to wind that into the pitch that you're trying to make. So, and I got to tell you up front, it's really challenging to sell a service. I mean, if you've got a car, if you've got a book, if you've got your Ralph Lauren sheets or blankets or whatever you're selling, you've got a physical thing that people can.
Physical things are the easiest.
Yeah, but it's hard to get a photo of a great real estate experience. I mean, real estate agents market themselves with their face and their phone number, but that doesn't always cut through the white noise. So I'm always on the lookout for things that will. And I think your point is valid. What I'm hearing from you, from this, is we need to firstly attract our audience. We need to establish rapport before we can expect anything back. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that's why you would want to maybe do this results-based thing of, like, you know, case study of how we, because people want to, all they care about is, you know, can you get the result faster than I can on my own?
Yep.
That's the only reason they're hiring you.
Sure.
And to do that, they want to know that you can do it. And so some of that comes through maybe a story of, you know, of one of your clients, or, you know, sort of a track record of, you know,
of how you help someone else.
Of how you help someone else, or like, here's what 9 out of 10, you know, people get wrong when they're trying to sell a home in the zip code of whatever zip code you're in, you know? And it's like, oh, what are they, you know, or here's why so many people don't get their asking price in this zip code.
Right.
You know, and then they read the article and they're like, oh, snap, you know, oh, and he's helped. It's like, he showed me why that they're not getting the asking price. It's for this weird renovation or this weird zoning. He showed me how I could fix it. And then he showed me like a result from his other client. And then there was a call to action, like fill out this form and, you know, set up a free appointment with us or whatever. But before we did all that, we told a story, or we gave them a tidbit that they can go out and take immediate action on. And, you know, or here's the a sneaky new way to see what other homes have sold for in your area. You know,
gotcha.
You know, is your home, you know, is your home at risk? You know, a sneaky new way to see what others have sold their homes for on your street. And then so you can put that in front of people.
I like that. Yeah, I like sneaky. So,
you kind of have to think, like, what do these people want to read? You know, they want to read about, how do I sell my home for more money? And, you know, how do I do that? What are the processes? And, you know, so I think it's not that hard when you kind of think outside the box a little bit of, like, well, can I give them a results in advance experience? You know, of can I show them what other homes have sold for? Can I show them myths, or, you know, the 7 myths about condominiums in Toronto and selling for high prices?
Yes.
You know, so it's like, you know, or could this break, you know, breaking news, could new law affect your, you know, your, the home value in, you know, Toronto for 2015, 2016.
Yes.
And then that would go to an article, you know, it's like, dear friend, you know, if you've been worried about skyrocketing taxes, you know, as I have, then this will be the most important article, you know, you read all month. Here's why, you know, the Toronto, you know, housing administration just passed a law that could drastically affect, you know, the value of home prices in these 7 zip codes.
Yeah.
Here's what to do if you're in one of those zip codes. And then you kind of give them, you know, it's like an ad, it's an article in a magazine.
Yes.
And then you attach a call to action at the end. Hey, you know, would you like some help? Do you want help figuring this out? If so, we've put together some personal time to talk with you one-on-one. All you need to do is, you know, click this link and fill out the form, and, you know, we'll be in touch. And so I think that stuff works. It's non-threatening. You're providing value up front. You know, I would trust you a lot more than I would trust, hey, we're awesome, we've been in business for 30 years, you should list your home with us.
Well, that just seems to be everywhere. I mean,
well, yeah, and that's the problem, is people tune that junk out.
Yeah.
It's like, why should I? Who cares? It doesn't pass the so what test. You know, if I saw a billboard and said,
correct,
you know, yeah, my name's Ray, and, you know, we're 35 years in business, and list your home with us, call us now. Why?
Yeah.
Why should I trust you? You know, So, I mean, it's a little different if you say, hey, we sold 7 out of the 10 homes in Toronto area for our last quarterly thing. But still, it's much more attractive to them to tell a story like, you know, these 7 zip codes are at risk for devaluing home prices because of this new law or something like that.
You're finding the pain point, I guess, Lawton. Is that what it's about a little bit as well?
I think very much, you know, it could be, is my home not worth as much, or how can I beat the odds? Stop, you know, here's one new way to stop gambling with your home listing and secure, you know. So you talk to their pain points, you sort of say, what's keeping them awake at night, you know?
Yeah.
Are there new home mortgage rules that could affect them? Is there a new zoning thing that's happening? Is the government like playing weird tricks with their interest rates for loans? So it's like, what's going on in the city? And what are they talking about? What are they thinking about? What's the pain points and what's the solution?
Yeah.
Three new strategies to combat high home, you know, insurance taxes in Toronto. So it's like, oh, it's an article, you know. So I think that's very important, is meeting people where they are and then creating content around that. And then you could always retarget them, you know, if you have like a Facebook ad account, you could do this thing. It's a little more advanced, but it's retargeting. So you get them on your website with an ad to an article. And then once they get into the article, if they don't like fill out a form or if they don't sign up for your lead magnet or your $7 thing, then you retarget them on Facebook and say, hey, you forgot to take advantage of this deal, or hey, did life get in the way? Like, you missed out on your, you know, on these marketing tips or on these home buying tips. And so you retarget them, but because they've already hit that page, you know, so you can draw them in with content and then retarget them with an offer. That's working well. And I even think Digital Marketer is doing like a little course on that soon or something.
Ryan seems to always have some,
it's awesome very advanced. Content. Yeah. It's more than I know how to do, but,
it's always out there. Hey, our time's pretty much up, Lawton. I just wanted to thank you. I'm going to go back and listen to this because you've just given away so many great headlines that I think people can adapt, and so many great content ideas. I really like the story idea because I think that's just so engaging. And perhaps, you know, we're not selling $47 widgets in our industry. We're selling a service that people will pay, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for. So the relationship is all important, and I just think you've given us a lot of tips. So I want to say thank you. Tell me, if people want to get in touch with you, is there a website they can go to track you down?
There is, yeah. Probably the best thing is to find me on Facebook.
Okay.
So it's just Lawton Chiles on Facebook.
Chiles, Lawton, Lawton.
Yep. Yeah, like Chili's. There is LawtonChiles.net. There's not a ton there, but I think, yeah, if they want to strike up a conversation on Facebook, if you need – I do like 3 reviews for like $1,300 if they need like copy reviewed, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Awesome. Happy to help, man. Yeah, for sure.
Thanks so much, Lawton. I'm going to put those contact details for you in the show notes. I want to thank you again for giving us a little bit of time in your busy day. I'm sure everybody listening to this is coming away with a heap of ideas. So thank you so much, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Okay, take care.
Cheers, man.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.